It is time for Real News with Brian. Brian's been away on vacation for several weeks, and he joins us back with coming back in a day where there's just a ton of stuff to talk about. Good morning, Brian.
Thank you, Marshall. Good to be back and back in our little town. It's so great here.
And you're coming back. We have done three interviews that we've scheduled that we're recording and play. You are going to be part of the Lakeville Journal's 125th anniversary celebration as well.
That's right. We've got big events this weekend, a celebration of the sort of the archives of the newspaper Saturday, and then a big fair on Sunday. I hope everyone will come to that right in Lakeville itself to celebrate 125 years. And then next month, I've got a panel that I'll be hosting with former Washington Post editor Marty Baron and our new Lakeville Journal editor John Costin and Vice President for Vice News, talking about the future of American journalism. And then the next day, the newsprint jubilee, a great gala. So lots going on with our newspaper under its new nonprofit board, which I'm proud to be part of.
All right. So now let's take a look. We have to start. I hate this because he was out of the headlines for so long. But we have to start with the former president taking the...
How can we not? Yeah.
499 times. He was shy of what his son took, but he did 499 times. I chose not to answer on the grounds of... It's just
self-incrimination, yeah. And it's probably very good legal advice. You know, Trump for years had said, if you're innocent, you'll need to take the Fifth. Now he says he knows why people do take the Fifth, so he recognizes the value of the Constitution, I guess, and the protections. But it does suggest that a lot more is coming from the New York Attorney General, or anything she brings now would be in a civil matter. She could go after the Trump Organization, issue a huge fine, could try to put it out of business. So there'd be no criminal consequences there, but the Manhattan District Attorney still has not officially shut down his probe, and if Trump had made a misstep or a miscue during the interrogation there by the Attorney General herself, it could have reopened the criminal. So probably a smart move by him, one that clearly has embarrassed him, on top of the fact that, the day before he had the FBI... knocked at the door in Mar-a-Lago, taking out 10 boxes of documents that he had apparently declined to turn over.
Yeah, and in his life, we also found out that he has to turn over his taxes now. That also happened. I mean, so for that one brief moment yesterday, once again, we were bombarded with Donald Trump news.
Absolutely. I think one thing that, for me, reading between the lines here, what I'm most intrigued about is the timeline of the search warrant being carried out. It wasn't really a raid where they knocked down the doors. You know, they were let in peacefully and notified the Secret Service in advance and his lawyers in advance. But it was the fact that they brought along, apparently, a professional safecracker to get into the safe in Donald Trump's office, which tells me that they must have some kind of inside information from somebody suggesting there was something in that safe. Now, maybe it'll be like the Al Capone safe that Geraldo Rivera famously went into and found nothing. But there had to be somebody on the inside suggesting, look at the safe, which is the only reason that they would get the judge to sign off on that and bring along a professional safecracker. I don't think they blew it up with dynamite or anything. They have a safecracker who apparently either had the numbers you had to have or was able to figure out how to open it.
So a very active day in Donald Trump world yesterday.
Oh, man, if you're Donald Trump, you must be hurting.
Well, yeah, and the family. They're all involved. Everybody's tangled in. Plus, not... So another congressman had his phone taken while he was on vacation. The FBI found him on vacation and took the phone. So any associate of Donald Trump that hasn't been contacted by close associate by the FBI yet, they've got to be looking over their shoulders.
Right. And of course, it does put in the spotlight the decision by the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, to go down this road to, one, continue the phone from the congressman has to do with the investigation of the fake electors that were put out in advance of January 6th. And the raid on Trump's, or the warrant on Trump's Mar-a-Lago place, has to do with the fact that there are documents that any president is required to turn over before he leaves office. And they believe that somehow Trump refused to do that and was hiding something. So we'll want to know, what was it he was hiding? You know, and I say it must be, if you're Donald Trump, you must be feeling pretty bad. But the fact is, reading this, that his friends say he's emboldened by this. It just persuaded him that, in fact, he should run for president, which, if you can imagine, is Trump's logic, that the way out of this is to run for president, because he's claiming it's all being done to keep him from running. So he likes to play the victim. He will be the martyr, and that's how it'll play out.
All right, we'll switch over to both the Ukraine and Iran for a second. And the Ukraine, nobody's admitted who did it. But there was a deep incursion into Russian-held Crimea with strikes against an airport. The Russians say someone smoking blew up, but then the pictures that came off from overhead satellites show that these were bomb craters there. And the only thing the Ukrainian army had to say about it was, well, if the person was smoking and that happened, the Russian army better train its personnel better.
I saw that, very amusing, but clearly some major assault there. Reading a pretty good deep dive into it this morning, the New York Times suggests that there are guerrilla groups, partisans, who somehow got in there and carrying this out. Ukraine is saying it was all done by equipment or armaments all made in Ukraine. And none of what they have really has the reach to get to that Air Force base, but something monumental happened there, and it'll be one of the great stories once it comes out. But this was a surprise and a shock for the Russian forces that Ukraine is carrying the war, I guess it really has to be called a war, deep into Crimea, which they thought was probably a safe place, in which they were launching all kinds of attacks with helicopters and jets. The count I saw said 6 or 7 jets at least could be seen destroyed on the tarmac there.
You know, and then with what the Ukrainian president finished up saying yesterday, that the war will not be complete without the return of Crimea.
And Marshall, I think that raises a question, which suggests this is going to go on for some time. There's no quick end here, and is there a limit to how much the U.S. and its allies and Ukraine's allies are prepared to support them for? I mean, that's a worthy goal, but that sounds like a 2 or 3 year long war.
It also sounds like a real strong negotiating point for a message to Putin.
Good point.
You know, this carries on long enough, and you know what? You're going to have more dead Russians because we're gonna try to take back Crimea. I mean, to me, that's the bargaining chip trying to push Putin over the edge the other way.
That's probably spot on. I saw the Pentagon account that as many as 80,000 Russian troops either killed or wounded so far, which is just an astounding number. Represents, 1/10 of their fighting force, and like 1/2 to 1/3 of the people who are the soldiers initially who went into Ukraine.
That's amazing. And I guess we'll talk about Iran, because trying to put that nuclear deal back in place with the United States is turning out just almost impossibly hard.
Yeah, it seems to be, and they don't really want it, it seems, and the only thing they want is relief from the sanctions. But they're a difficult negotiating partner. We'll see again. The alternative, I guess, is for Israel to continue its assault on the Iranian scientists and facilities, which, you know, I think Iran has been unable to stop. Iran's been unable to stop so far. So there, it's another example of sort of undoing, in a way, some of the damage done in the previous administration. The deal with Iran, as shaky and as maybe not perfect as it was, still was better than what we got now.
Yeah, it really is pretty amazing when you take a look at what's gone on over the past year and a half. I was very disappointed in a lot of things with President Biden, to be honest with you. But now that he got this deal signed for the for the act that he wanted. When you take a look at his first year and a half in office, compare it to anybody else's first year and a half in office, and even to Barack Obama, he's gotten a lot of things done.
You're right. It's starting to shape up as, not so sleepy Joe, with accounts this morning, if you read it either in the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times, with better news on the inflation front. We all look at the price of gasoline and milk, and gasoline now down below $4 in many parts of the country. I haven't checked out here locally, but where I was over in Nantucket, where gas was $5.90 a gallon. It was a pleasure to get back here with more prices. But around the country, the average price is dropping pretty well back to where it was in March or so. And that's been a big indicator, certainly for economists, but for politicians too. They look at those gas price numbers as that's because that those numbers are posted up. You see them wherever you drive, so people see that, and that's better.
And and really, you look at he has now put into place all, and they're not as strong as they initially were going to be, but basically all three pieces of the major legislation that he wanted to put into place. In one form or another, he got them in place with a 50-50 Senate and a small majority in the House.
Right. And it is probably a reminder that the initial proposals were just far too aggressive. And, really, as you look at it now, he's been able to do what he's been able to do by paring that back. And, maybe as with Russia, you've got to sort of, for a negotiating point, you got to start and swing big and see what you get. Well, but now he's got something. And the ability to get Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, the two Democrats who are extremely reluctant to support him, get them to come around. Something's going on there. In the Senate, they're pulling it together.
Well, all I remember back during the presidential primaries, people used to ask Bernie Sanders all the time, do you really expect to get what you want? His answer would always be, as a kid I always thought, if you want something, you ask for the whole loaf and you accept what you get.
Yeah. And, he certainly, he's the progressives have accepted that. They've been face to face with the reality that with only 50 senators and two of them far from progressive, they're lucky to get what they get.
Absolutely. Ryan, great to have you back. Great to talk to you.
Good to be back. And big weekend for the Journal. Thanks for plugging in. It was a great weekend, by the way, for the Sharon Library. The book event went off extremely well. Big packed crowds, very hot, but very successful.
All right, Brian, we'll speak to you next week.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Brian Ross and Real News here on Robin Hood Radio. You can find Brian, of course, on the web at our website at robinhoodradio.com. Click on Demand. Click on Real News with Brian Ross.